It's time for 41 is the Mic, a weekly Chiefs podcast with Nick Jacobs of KSHB 41 and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. 41 is the Mic starts now.
It is now another bonus edition of 41 is the Mic alongside Matt Derrick. We have a special guest joining us. It's Jim Nagy from the executive director of Reese Senior Bowl and a man who has been with multiple front offices, the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and then as well as the Patriots. So Jim knows draft. He knows scouting better than Matt and I ever will and a lot of other people. Jim, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Good to be on.
So, Jim, my first question for you is for people that don't know, the Senior Bowl is what kicks off NFL draft season for a lot of people and really kind of puts it in the public eye. And for people that aren't aware, when do you guys start your work for that year and what all goes into it to get to that moment and have it as friendly for NFL teams as it's been to come down there to Mobile, Alabama?
Yeah, if they don't know yet, I'm not doing my job right. So yeah, the Senior Bowl, our big mantra is the draft starts in Mobile. Going back to my time in scouting, I always saw the Senior Bowl as kind of the first stage of the process, then combine, you know, then pro days, and then the draft itself. So we just finished up our 75th year, had our 75th anniversary game. The goal is to bring the best players, best draft eligible players, regardless of what level they come from. You know, we did something different when we got here. We built like a real football operation. I tell people, like, we didn't even have tape. We didn't have access to tape when I got this job. So like I had to go to the league office and they were like, Jim, why do you need tape? And I'm like, what are you talking about? How are we putting a roster together without watching these guys? But so we had 11 former NFL scouts on our staff this year. They're out at games every Saturday. We're watching tape. It's really a year round process. Like our in-house scouts right now, I've already watched about 75-80% of next year's Power Five players. So we've got a good jump on that. And then the last part of the process for us is just leaning into the relationships that we had from you know, being in the NFL for all those years. Like a guy like Mike Borgonzi with the Chiefs there, and you know, like Ryan Nutt, a couple of the holdovers from the staff I was there. And we have great sharing calls in November, and we just kind of, and they're long, exhaustive, like 3-hour phone calls, and we go position by position just trying to bring the players the NFL wants to see. That's the goal. And, you know, the last 3 years we've hit triple digits. We've been over 100 guys drafted out of the game, which had never happened before. That's been about 40-41% of the last three drafts each year. So yeah, this thing kind of kicks it off, and that's the goal every year, is to get them all drafted. So we'll see here coming up here in a couple of days how good if we did a good job or not this year.
Jim, you really have reinvented the Senior Bowl for kind of the modern NFL and with the scouting approach that you've brought to it. And obviously, teams like the Chiefs have invested in it. I mean, the Chiefs took Wanya Morris from your roster last year, Rashee Rice, Chari Connor. Chiefs always, every year, take at least one, if not more, Senior Bowl players. How have you seen the Chiefs' relationship with the Senior Bowl and their investment in it really go the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, they come down here. They have a hardworking staff, I'll say that. You know, Brett wasn't there. You know, I was coming out, and Brett was coming in with Andy Reid. But like I said, Mike Borgonzi's there, and Ryan Poles was there with us, with the crew I was there with. And some of the area scouts are still there. You know, Terry Delp and Pat Sperduto and some of the guys. So, no, they do a really good job. They come down here, they roll their sleeves up, and again, it's kind of how it falls, where the draft falls, whether you're going to, you know, take guys. I mean, I think last year we had 5 or 6 teams draft 5 or more players from the game. But it's just kind of, you know, what you're staring at when you're on the board. So no, they come down, they work really hard. I see them every night at the interviews that we have for the guys, and they've got a good plan in place. And that's why they've been successful. You know, it's not just the quarterback. Yeah, Pat Mahomes is certainly special. And they have other difference makers on the team, Chris Jones and Kelsey and all the guys that you love out there. But they've got a good roster from top to bottom. And they have role players, and they have glue players in the locker room, and they do a really good job.
Jim, I'm curious, with this class that you had down there at the Senior Bowl this year, what was kind of unique or different about them from previous classes you've had down there?
Well, the biggest thing I would say is we could bring juniors this year, you know, so we prepared all fall. The league office kind of gave us a heads up. A lot of people think that was our decision. If that was our decision, we would have been bringing juniors a long time ago. But the league office gave us a heads up in August that they were thinking about making the change. And then we got word in early November that they were going to do that. And it was great. We you know, those guys were on the board. We stacked them accordingly. So we just kind of moved forward with our process. But I think we ended up with 17 or 18 juniors in the game, which really strengthened it. You know, I think these were our best rosters. I think, you know, we like I said, we've been at like 40, 41%. I'm hoping we're closer to half the draft playing in the game this year. We'll see. But when you're taking 17 or 18 juniors that are you know, top 100 draft picks in most cases, and then you're kind of lopping off the bottom of the seniors that were at the back end of the roster, it certainly helped. It helped the star power of the game. There's going to be a lot of guys going on in the first round. You get guys like Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. I mean, there's some good juniors in that crew. But I think you see most of them come off on day two. We've typically dominated day two of the draft. That's really our sweet spot. Rounds two and three is where most of our guys come off. So we'll see. I think that's the biggest difference, though, is the juniors.
Yeah, Brett Veach, you know, when we talked to him on Friday, mentioned that, you know, this year's class, because of, you know, he was pointing towards NIL. I'll bring COVID into it, too, because it seems like there's so many, you know, fifth year, sixth year seniors in this year's class that got the extra COVID eligibility. How valuable is it that, you know, now that you're able to bring in juniors and you're able to bring in younger players to maybe get, you know, younger players and not as many older players into the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's shifting. You just have to look at the numbers. I want to say it peaked in 2019. There was close to 150 juniors come out. And this year, that number was under 60. We're somewhere in the 50s. So you're talking about 100, roughly around 100 players underclassmen that were entering the draft 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that now are going back to school, which I think from like an overall big picture look at the draft, I think it's great for the players. They get another year of, they don't have to just come out and make a bad football decision. Like it used to be where, you know, guys knew they were going to be a late round draft pick or even undrafted free agent, but they made the move because, again, some of these guys come from a really tough life circumstance. You know, they're trying to keep the lights on and the water running. So they would just make the jump whether they were ready or not. Now the NFL is getting an older player, a more mature player, a guy that's ready to play. I think everyone's got to shift their models. All these analytics people have to shift their models a little bit. I don't think the age thing is nearly a concern for the league, for the teams in the league than it is for, you know, some of these people that have dove into the analytics. It's changed in 2 years. And the thing I would say to push back against some of that stuff is these guys keep themselves in great shape. I mean, this isn't back in the day where guys like took the off season and just took their foot off the gas. These guys, you're seeing them come back for the off season program. Now they're bigger, they're stronger. They look better. They really use their offseason well. So these guys are playing in their mid-30s. And if you're a team, all you're looking for is to get two contracts out of a player. So if he's a 23, 24, 25-year-old rookie and you get, you know, 7 years, 8 years out of the guy and he's 32, 33, that's all you can really ask out of a draft pick. So, yeah, I think it's helped, you know, from a team's standpoint. These guys are just more developed. And what I think what it's going to do to this year's draft, and we saw it here at the Senior Bowl. It's hurt day three. I think rounds one through four as strong as they've ever been. I think this is going to be the best rounds one through four draft we've seen in a long, long time. But for us, I know day three got wiped out. Like when we had players either, you know, get injured in a bowl game or during, you know, they get hurt during training. You know, they're running drills and they're popping quads and hamstrings and whatnot. You know, then we got to go back in January and backfill the roster. Those guys were gone. Those guys had either like went in the portal and taken big money or went back to their own school for big money. So at that point, I can't call the head coach and say, hey, we want your running back. You know, so then we were moving down to guys that we had fringe draftable grades on. So I think I would not want to be a team right now with a bunch of day three picks in this year's draft. I'd be trying to unload those things. I think next year's day three is going to be loaded, because next year is the last year of this extra COVID year, which you brought up. So it's definitely made for some different dynamics when it comes to the draft and kind of the overall depth.
So Jim, with the Chiefs fans up here, they're obviously two positions that they're keeping tabs on 24/7 is offensive tackle and wide receiver. Who down there at the Senior Bowl do you feel kind of maybe fit what the Chiefs may need on their roster?
Well, it's a good year to need what they need. Those are two loaded positions. I think, You know, if I were them, and I've had this conversation about the Chiefs, people have asked me about them. I would probably target tackle first, because I think you're going to be able to get a really good wide receiver, an immediate contributor at wideout, like they did with Rashee last year. I think you're going to be able to get those guys well into the second and third round. I think the tackle thing will probably be a run on tackles early, and you'll see that thing dry up in the beginning of the second. So by the time you get back to your second pick, I think a lot of the tackles will be gone. You know, you'll still get some good players, but you know, maybe not as high end of a player. So you'll probably be staring at like Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Will probably be there. Wanye's former teammate. To me, I think he's the most athletic tackle in the draft. I think, you know, he might maybe not be as NFL ready as a Joe Alt, but when you talk in terms of ceiling, I don't think there's anyone that moves like this guy. I think he's different. I felt like that going back to last summer. Kingsley Suamatia from BYU, Jordan Morgan from Arizona. You know, we had Taliese Fuaga from Oregon State. He's going to be long gone by the time you guys pick. He would have been a good one. But Roger Rosengarten is a name that's really moved up. The other tackle from Washington, who played opposite Troy Fatanu, who had a great week down here. So he might be in range there. I'm seeing some mock draft stuff where he's going there. So it's a good problem to have. I mean, those are two really good need areas that match out with the strengths of the draft.
You know, Jim, you had several, you know, players with local ties from, you know, Kansas City area who were down there. Particularly a couple that stand out to me are going to be Darius Robinson from Missouri and Austin Booker from Kansas. Darius seems like a good example of what you were talking about earlier, a guy who went back to school, could have come out last year, thought about it, but probably would have been a mid-round pick. Has good, obviously, last year, but really, really stood out at the Senior Bowl in the practices and really seemed to make a name for himself.
Yeah, he had a dominant week. I think Pro Football Focus had him as like the top highest graded defensive lineman since they've been grading Senior Bowl players whenever they started doing that, as a long time ago. Yeah, Darius took full advantage. I saw him at SEC Media Days, and he asked me, he point blank asked me why he didn't get a Senior Bowl invite the year before. And I love the way he asked. It wasn't, and I'm not going to convey it right, and I forget exactly how he said it, but it was very inquisitive. Like, he was curious. He wanted to know, like, what can I work on? And I told him, I said, man, I just rewatched your tape. We probably should offer you, but we had a fifth-round grade on him last year. So he fell kind of below the line for where we cut at defensive line last year. Yeah, he had a monster year. You know, you love his versatility. You love his length. Again, dominant week down here. Then he goes to the combine, does some really good things. He's just a really versatile football player. And I love how he's wired. I believe in the guy, you know, what he's all about. I think that's why you make your mistakes as teams. I mean, going back over my time in the league, why I missed on players and the teams I worked for, it just wasn't the right guy. And that's the hardest part. You can watch the tape, and that's really the easier part. It's figuring out these. We're all human beings, right? Like, think about you on a daily basis. Like, you change. I mean, things happen in your life. So, Darius is a really cool example of a guy that came down here and took full advantage. And then Austin Booker is a guy that, again, I think his best football is way ahead of him. You know, if you were poking holes in Austin, is that he doesn't have, you know, a great – there's not a huge body of work on tape. What you liked when you saw him was the athlete and the length. But, you know, he was kind of a bulk deficient, strength deficient player. And he's packed on a lot of good weight during the process. He's got himself to 250 pounds, which, you know, I think he played in the high 230s at Kansas this year. And then what you saw on tape, there was like three reps in a row during one period here in the Senior Bowl. And it wasn't the one-on-one stuff. It's not the stuff that a lot of people see. It was a team period where he walked. I think it was Jordan Morgan, two reps in a row. And I forget who the other tackle was. But really showed natural power where he got extension on the tackle and walked him back to the lap of the quarterback. So even though he's bulk and strength deficient, he's got a lot of upside in the weight room. He has natural power. So that's a really cool thing. And he plays really hard. I know talking to some buddies in the league, you know, we're comparing him to Max Crosby when they were down here for the game and what, you know, again, nobody wants to compare guys to the guys that are the best players at their position in the league. But Max coming out of Eastern Michigan, there's a reason why he went in the third round. He wasn't the Max Crosby we're seeing today. So, again, I think Austin Booker, huge upside pick for whoever takes him.
And is there any players down there that you feel are really underrated that aren't being talked about enough? I know you talked about the running back of Troyes on Twitter, or X, excuse me, a couple weeks ago. Is there any other guys that you feel like they're that were at the Senior Bowl that you feel like really are going to surprise some people?
Yeah, man, we don't have enough time. There's a lot of those guys. I'm a big believer in a lot of our players. And that's what I try to do, you know, on social media, is kind of bring to light some of the guys that I think are being overlooked a little bit. I mean, everyone knows about, you know, Leatu Latu from UCLA and Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo at this point. Like, those are household names if you follow the draft. Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey. I mean, those are guys everybody knows. But it's more the you know, the guys, again, in the second, third round that, you know, maybe the casual fan doesn't know much about. So, you know, I was on another podcast earlier, and they threw out, like, Max Melton at Rutgers and Andrew Phillips, a corner from Kentucky. I think both those guys will go somewhere in the second round. You might not be hearing that as much, but really good players. We could really go position by position. I mean, sticking in your backyard, I mean, Ben Sennett from Kansas State, I think it sounds like he's going to be the second tight end off the board after Brock Bowers. He had a phenomenal week here, you know, tight end of the week, really blew it up, and then goes to the combine and blows it up. And Dom Pooney from Kansas is a guy that the league is way higher on than the media. And you're seeing some of the guys in the media catch up there and put him on day two. I think Dom could go in the second round. I think there's only, to me, in my opinion, there's only two linemen in this draft that could play all five spots, and it's Dominic Pooney and Graham Barton from Duke. Last year, I thought that guy was Cody Mauch from North Dakota State, who the Bucks took in the second round, and they're fired up about his future. I think Dom Pooney's going to make some team really happy when we get to Friday night.
You know, Jim, you mentioned some of the receivers, and certainly the Chiefs seem like they're going to be interested in receivers early in the draft, but pretty good chance that they could double dip. Is there a group later on? I know you and I, I think, are both big fans of Luke McCaffrey. I mean, that's an example of a guy who might go in the later in the draft. But are some other receivers that you saw down there that, you know, you think really could fit in with the Chiefs, maybe, but not maybe in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, I do like Luke a lot. Again, it's the upside of the player and the jump he made from junior tape to senior tape this year. I think Luke's got a chance to go in third. I know he's not getting out of the fourth. And then you got guys like Jacob Cowling from Arizona, you know, really fast, dynamic guy. I've seen some Tank Dell comparisons. That's elite territory for me. Tank was one of my favorite players and was having an incredible rookie year for Houston before he got hurt. But a guy like that, I mean, there's going to be, you know, Javon Baker is a guy that from Central Florida, UCF, former Alabama player that I've been watching from the time he got up on campus at Tuscaloosa. There's a bunch. It's a good, like I said, it's a good year to need them. I mean, if you scout them right, I'm not saying there's going to be another Puka Nacua waiting in the fifth round like last year, but there's certainly going to be good players that can come in and play a role, you know, in the early day three period.
And Jim, this will be my last question for you, and Matt may have one more, and we'll get you out of here. Going into the draft room, since a lot of us don't get that experience, and you've been with four organizations and been through that experience, what is draft weekend like? What is the experience like? And then also the fact that you've scouted all these guys, there's guys you believe in, and, you know, and you've put a whole 3-4 years worth of work into that player and trying to get that guy drafted. What is all that experience like on draft weekend?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. It changes. It varies by team. And I was with teams in New England. We weren't in the draft room when I was in New England. In Kansas City, I was. Seattle, I was. So I'd say a lot of anxiety, a lot of anticipation. It's a very exciting time. I mean, people ask me all the time if I miss being in the NFL. This is the time where I miss it. April, you know, the strategy part of the draft when you're really trying to figure out what you're doing at each spot and, you know, targeting certain players and in ranges. That's the really fun stuff. So I miss that. But yeah, it's the anticipation. And I say, you know, from like a scout's perspective, yeah, you've got a handful of guys you really want to be Chiefs. If you work for the Kansas City Chiefs, you want those guys to be Chiefs because you've put in the work, you believe in them. And hopefully you feel like you've done a good enough job of presenting the case. Because let's face it, that's what draft meetings are. You're partly an attorney. Like you're building a case for a player and trying to sell that player. So I used to feel like if we didn't end up with some of my guys, maybe I didn't do a good enough job of presenting the player. But no, there's only, you know, sometimes you only have seven or eight picks and the board doesn't fall your way. Like when I talk to my buddies that are on the league right now, that's the only thing I say to them. Like, hope it falls your way this weekend, because some of it's just, you know, you'll have it scouted right and you have your board set, and then you'll have, you know, the board will come off exactly how your team has it. And you're like, man, like you're hoping there's some variance, you know, how these guys come off as opposed to the board you're staring at in the draft room. So, yeah, man, it's a really fun time. And then you just got to get on board with whoever, you know, if you're a chief scout, whoever Brett Veach and Andy Reid take, those are your guys, whether, you know, you loved them in the fall or through the process or not, they're Chiefs now. Right. So you got to get on board with the pick and support the pick and hope the coaching staff and the building does a good job developing those guys.
Yeah, Jim, my last question, I kind of want to know what your week is like. I know the next few days, I'm sure you have a lot of interviews that you're doing talking about the draft, but once the draft gets underway, how do you experience it? Especially since I'm sure you're rooting for all your guys to get taken taken early.
Yeah, it's different. It's certainly different, but it's a lot of fun. You know, you don't have to wait around for, you know, a handful of picks, and you're on the clock every time, you know, one of our guys can go. So, again, and I say that it's important. I mean, like, I think what we lose sight of in this whole thing is that this whole process, although it's entertainment for us, right? And I stoke that fire as much as I can with the Senior Bowl. Like, at the end of the day, this is a huge job interview for these players, and it's the realization of their dreams. You know, like they've put so much sacrifice in their families and, you know, friends and coaches have poured so much into these players. This is it. Like, this is the realization. So I love that part, man. I'm probably closer to the players now in this role than I was working for a team. So I love seeing these guys live it out. So I'm going to be going up to Detroit here in a couple of days and doing some stuff with NFL Network. And I think I'm doing day three of the draft on Sirius Radio. Because who knows these day three guys more than us? I mean, that's all we spend our time on is evaluating these guys. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing where these guys go. Doing a lot of this media stuff. Again, just getting the Senior Bowl name out there and doing the best we can to promote the game and promote our players. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
And I know Chiefs fans would be disappointed if we didn't ask, who do you have in mind for the Chiefs at 32? Because that's the question every Chiefs fan's asking media or their friends or whoever. Who would you take at 32 for the Chiefs, or names you have in mind for that?
No, man, that's unfair. Those other people you're asking don't have the investment I have in some of these players, man, and them and their agents. I gotta try to keep a lot of people happy, but hopefully they take one of our guys, man. I love reasons to put on the TV and watch Chiefs football, But no, I mean, I think if you're going wide receiver, a couple of the names I brought up, I think Ladd McConkey or Ricky Pearsall both would look great in Chiefs uniforms. Both guys can play inside, outside. They're both, you know, mature guys. They'll get up to speed quick. They're both smart. They're both tough. I would love to see what Mahomes could make out of those two guys. That would be fun. And if they go tackle, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of different guys. Do they want to go with, like, what it's going to be in 3 years? I think, you know, if Guyton's still there, I think he might be gone. But again, my sleeper pick might be Rosengarten, man. I'm a big believer. Like he repped on the left side a lot down here in Mobile, which you never saw him do, on the UW tape. And I just thought he's had a really good process and getting to know Roger. Like I'm a big believer in the person. So I think that could be a fun one too.
All right, Jim, you made a lot of Chiefs fans happy with that one. So I just want you to know that as from your experience up here, Chiefs Kingdom is very happy right now, being able to get your name so they can pencil them in with their buddies. Jim, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. I know you got to get out of here. You have an insanely busy week ahead of you. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's always fun talking Chiefs. So thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate you, Jim. Take care.
You've been listening to 41 is the Mic, presented by KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs and Chiefs Digest.